Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and I need to be showed the funny.
That's why, Wendy, that's why Pat McGann is here, to cheer you up.
Good.
Pat, cheer Wendy up.
All right, I'll start dancing.
Do your funny Pat dance.
Yes, I might.
So much.
You are busy, busy, busy. I'm following you on social media, and you're at a new city every night, a new venue. You're just moving and shaking.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy. I've been touring with Sebastian Maniscalco, and we've been going all over this great land.
Pat, sometimes a comedian will open for a music group or a performer, a singer. Sometimes they'll open for a comedian. Do you have a preference on that? Is it better for you one way or another?
Oh, comedian for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I haven't opened for a lot of musical acts.
I was going to question that. Do they typically put comedians in front of musicians?
Yes.
Not as much
as they used to, I think, but they do like in theater settings. But I've never really... I can't even think of... One.
Paul Reiser was on with Steve Cochran, and he said he likes to mix it up, so he puts a musician. I think if you're in the mindset to go see a comic, you want to be there. If you're there to see music, you don't want to see a comic.
Right.
What about a CPA? Would you ever put a CPA up in front of a comic or a band?
In tax season, maybe.
Tax season.
Maybe in April.
April, early April.
Yeah.
That would be very comical for about 30 seconds.
A comedian for exactly the reasons you're saying, Wendy. Like, they're there to see comedy.
They're
in the mindset. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, but you've never opened for a band in all the years
Beyonce,
you've done
just that one time, right?
I don't think I have. I honestly haven't.
Did you used to?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
Like, who were some of the acts?
The Beach Boys, Michael Bolton. I had quite a few of
them.
Really? Yeah.
See, this is why he brought it up. He wants to talk about... Go ahead, Bill. Tell us what you did. Talk about Michael Bolton. And
really?
You won't hear a word out of me about Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton's
Where'd
lame.
You open for the Beach Boys at? That's legendary.
Pheasant Run.
Really?
Yeah.
The Beach Boys played Pheasant Run?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a New Year's Eve show, and I said to one of the young girls backstage, "This is so exciting, opening for your dad. I've been a fan since I was a little kid." And she goes, "My dad..." It was one of the Beach Boys' girlfriend who was 32 years younger than he was.
Oh, gosh.
And you still got to perform that?
Yeah,
night?
Despite that.
That is great.
Yeah.
I did see John Tesh at a show that we were doing in California. He sang for a little bit.
That's not that exciting. Yeah. He's in the same Bolton category.
That's what made me think of it. I was tempted to say,
John
come on
Tesh,
up here and sing it.
You're the reason I got into show business.
Yeah, right.
It's so funny he went Beach Boys and Bolton, and you and I are like, tell us about the Beach Boys.
Come on. But it's still fun. I mean, you're opening for Sebastian some of the nights, but you're doing your own thing on other nights.
Yes, yeah, I'm still doing my own thing, and that's kind of what I'm doing the next few months because we're taking a little bit of a hiatus because the Sebastian tour did take up most of my time. It was significant touring. But yeah, when I'm not with him, I'm doing my own thing.
I have questions for you that I always ask Bill, and he answers for me. But first of all, I think you're so incredibly funny, and I want to know how long you've been doing this.
I've been doing it for 11 years.
It seems like it's been longer. You just seem very polished.
No. To us, it seems like
you've
been way longer.
My other question is, how old were you when you started doing this?
I was 31.
So a little later
I
than most.
Late, yeah.
How much did you weigh?
That was your question.
It's a good question.
I said 162.
162?
How do you keep it off?
Yeah,
no,
that's a great question from
I
Steve.
I remember last time I weighed 162. I was, where was that? That was like sniper fire.
Steve Bertrand. He's up in the little box.
I always go through this when I come. Hi, Steve. So I had a career. I was in sales. I was traveling a little bit with that.
Doing well.
Yeah, I had a
very
decent
successful
job. And then the economy kind of went to hell and lost some business. And at that time, I was doing open mics. And I was like, let me just concentrate on this. And I kind of wrote out the sales job. Because it was a commission job.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just... I didn't feel too bad about not working that hard at it.
What's the reaction of family members as you were leaving a sure thing for something that
great
was
question
not a sure thing? Thank you. Thank you.
Well, hey, I got laid off like 4 months before I got married.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and then I got a job. My buddy got me a job at one of his restaurants here in town at Let Us Entertain You at Paris Club.
Yeah.
And I started working there, and I kind of did that for probably 8 months, and then I was able to transition kind of full-time to stand-up.
You did it fast, though. It takes most guys, it takes a lot longer than it took you.
Well, I lucked out. I had a great gig at Zany's. I was the house MC, which they've always done at the other clubs, Pheasant Run. And they had Rosemont at the time. They had Vernon Hills, but like John DeCoste, who's on with Steve all the time, mm-hmm. He was a house MC at Zany's, still is. They had that model for the suburban clubs. They didn't have it at the City Room in Old Town. So when I came along, they're like, "Let's try and do work you as a house MC." and I started getting a ton of work. I was doing like, one year I did, I think, 9 months there.
Wow.
And that was
you learned
night,
a lot doing
except
that.
Monday. So learned a ton, got comfortable on stage, was able to do, they wanted me to talk to the crowd, like they encouraged that.
Yeah.
Which I was not comfortable with. But once you can start to do that, once you start getting conversational on stage, I think that helps tremendously in just being comfortable up there. And
I love
then
that.
Then you start doing material. So it's kind of funny. Like, I had that, and now I have this gig with Sebastian where I don't do any crowd work. I'm still the opener, but you don't do crowd work in a theater.
It's too big.
Or like a big. So now I've been concentrating on material like the last 2 years touring with him. So it's mm-hmm. kind of been both of those two things were great for me development-wise.
You are just really funny. I'm proud of you.
You smell nice too, Pat.
I feel like I haven't said anything funny yet.
Not yet. Save it for the second half.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
This is a teaser?
Build towards
that. Is that how we get people in?
Yeah. Well, I thought that was an interesting story because I've asked you all these questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, where did Pat McGann come from? Because that's what we want.
Yeah, I always say to Wendy.
I know. And I'm like, I need a better answer.
Correct. I just called my parents on the way here because I did the morning news, WGN Morning News.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell them. They're like, why didn't you tell us? And then I told them, we'll tune in to WGN.
What'd they say? Are they in? Are they listening?
They're listening,
radio.
Yeah. So
tell
I love that you brought up my mom's womb. She'll be very happy.
And they have to be proud. I mean, that's just...
One of them probably
They're
is.
Excited. You know, they got me into comedy in a way. They were big comedy fans. They would go to New York City. I remember them going away, like little getaways and coming home, talking about going to clubs. They took us to see Seinfeld as a family.
Oh, nice.
When I was like 15. We saw him out at Pheasant Run in the Mega Center. And so they exposed me to comedy.
Did they have comedy albums that they would listen to or that they'd have you listen to?
Not really.
No?
I remember like Bill Cosby himself like watching that special whenever it was running on cable then. We didn't get cable right when everyone else got it.
Yeah.
Because that was like big time proliferation of stand-up when
yes.
cable came out. And but yeah, we were just always a funny... I mean, I still live in the South Side of Chicago. I mean, there's a million people in my neighborhood funnier than I am. It's just a funny people, funny yeah. neighborhood. That's just kind of like the culture.
Why are some areas funnier than others? I agree with you, but why is that, do you think?
I think that they're just, you know, I've developed some theories. I think that cold weather cities, are funnier people.
You're right.
I think that, you know, you're forced to be inside. You have to entertain yourselves. You have to entertain the people around you.
Yeah.
And I think that is... a contributing factor.
And more appreciative because you're bottled up inside so often, so the mere fact of going to a club, it takes some effort.
Yeah.
Right?
And underdogs in society.
Yes.
Are,
if you're struggling financially, too, you come up with something because rich people can just pay people to make them laugh.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism. It's yeah. a coping mechanism. Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's all
true.
And attention, craving attention.
Yeah, oh, there's that as well. Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Do you put yourself in that bracket? Are you craving attention?
I don't know. I was never like the class clown. I would like come up with ideas that I had like buddies I would unload them on and then they would carry out the... Not that they didn't have ideas themselves, but yeah, we would get into some trouble, but nothing significant.
Are those guys amazed at what you've achieved in the last 11 years or so? Do they go, wow, we thought you were funny, but we didn't think you'd pull this
they
off?
They would never say that to me.
No?
I mean, they do in ways, but you know what I mean.
Are they now giving you material?
They keep me, you know... humble in a way, like they're not yeah. gonna be like, oh, they'll be like, oh, you big shot, you know, saw you on TV, you get a new zip up, you know, just like, we got put a gel on your hair now. What
What's
are you
a
doing?
Zip up, like a hoodie,
yeah,
like
a nice one, like Pat's wearing.
Is that yeah. from the chest up?
Yeah, it's just like a sweatshirt.
And you have a line of those, right? You sell those after the show.
I do. I get like the sweaty pits, so I like to layer up. So it's become my
and dark colors.
Become my, yeah,
right? Yep, yeah.
I hear you.
That's a good look.
Put a thought behind
that's
all
a solid
of it.
Look. Pat McGann is here. He's performing at Zany's. Go to zanies.com. All your ticket information is there. Go to his website, patmcgannscomedy.com. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Pat, you got to go to Ushnala with me.
Man, that sounds
come
great.
With me.
Mouth-watering medallions.
Wendy, are you in?
Yes.
Mouth-watering medallions.
Plus, you get the beautiful view, right?
Your lake is right there. It's so good.
Are those the medallions that were won by the chefs?
Yes.
The award-winning chefs?
Yes.
Like my medallion?
Yes.
Is it making your mouth water?
They saute them up, and you can chew on them. They're so delicious. Pat McGann is here. He's performing at Zany's. When exactly, Pat? It says May 31st through June the 2nd, and then June 5th through 8th. Could that be true?
That is correct.
All right,
this weekend,
fun.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I just heard the Saturday 9 o'clock is sold out.
Oh.
But we got some tickets available still for the early show on Friday and the 7 o'clock show on Saturday.
What's your process for new material? Everyone has a different way of doing it. Some people just work it in. Some people say to the audience, I'm going to try some new material. Tell me what you think. What do you do?
I try to do it after I build up some goodwill, like maybe like at the 15-minute mark if I'm doing like a longer set.
Yeah.
And then I know I can like, if I lose them, I can back it up with some other stuff. It's tough sometimes doing new stuff when I'm with Sebastian just because the venues are huge. You're in the moment. You get caught up in that moment.
Sure.
And then I'll talk to him after. He's like, just do the
really?
New stuff. Like, yeah, and he's right because they're not there to see me. I mean, just go out and do it. And so I've been getting better at trying that because
yeah.
I'm not – it's hard to get out. When I come home, I like to be home, you know, and I still try and hustle and hit the, you know, mics in town. And
oh, yeah?
Do guest spots when I can. But it is difficult, you know. So I'm trying to try on stage, and then I write a ton, put notes in my phone, and then I just think about, like, I'm trying this newer thing about, we just went to an indoor water park with our kids, and I've been trying to, like, mess with that a little bit.
Oh, that's
just
fun.
About how horrible those places are, and just kind of roll the dice on hepatitis. And
40% of people, this was just in the news, relieved themselves in a pool.
Oh,
so
oh really?
Put that that's in fun. Your bit.
Yeah. See? I'm always learning, always getting new stuff.
So how do you practice? I know you bring some of it out when you're on stage. It's great to do it when you're opening for Sebastian. You're right. They're there to see him. But do you stand in front of a mirror? Do you do it in your car? How do you do? I mean,
I just do it on stage and then I voice record it. And then I need to get better at listening to him because I record a lot and then I start listening to it. I'm like, I don't want to listen to myself. But you, if you listen to your sets, you can grow a ton because you're committing it to memory. You're hearing where the laughs are, and then you can think about it, what you can add there. And I think that's huge, listening to your own sets.
Have you had this experience where you write something and you say, well, this can't, look at this. I've created gold. This cannot miss.
Yeah.
And then you do it from an audience and they're not buying it at all.
All the time. I mean, I think it's probably like, you know, taking swings in baseball. Like if 3 out of the 10 things you write connect, you're good.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you give up? Like, if something fails, do you give up on it, or do you rework it and try it again somewhere
else? I have tried forever. I had this one bit. My dad, when we used to go on vacation, my dad used to, and all in good fun, but he would give out this, like, worst vacationer award, like, at the end of the day.
Really?
Yeah. And we did it one time. I was on a road trip with my buddies, like, 4 of us who drove out to California, and we did it, too, and it starts fights, and everyone gets pissed off, but you're like, yeah, at the end of the day, like, yeah, you bitched about lunch.
You win.
You complained about all the walking. You're the worst vacationer. So I love that as a premise and a concept, but I've never really, and I've toyed with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I've never really been able to like have it take off in the stand-up.
That's
but it's funny because it is a funny premise. It's a funny...
But people can relate to that. I am the worst vacationer in my family on every trip, but as you were saying that, I'm like...
Oh. Yeah, I got to revisit it again. But that's the other thing. You use it like... everything, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm talking about trips we went on when I was a kid that I never thought I would use,
right?
You know,
and there they are.
Yeah.
Does your family like being part of your act, or do they not like being part of your act?
They do like it if it's true, right? I mean, if it's based in reality, like I pick on my wife a ton. She doesn't care as long as it's true.
Yeah.
My kids are now starting to get. You know, my daughter, she came to one of my shows, and she's 7. And afterwards, she's like, Mom does not sound like that.
Oh.
Like, how you talk like Mom is not. And and I have a joke about my daughter asking me a question. She's like, I asked you that like 2 years ago. Like, I know. I need some new stuff.
Do they ever say, this better not show up in your stand? If you do this in your stand-up, and just
we say not for air in our families.
Oh, or sometimes. On stage. Sometimes, yeah. But not usual.
Yeah.
I've been doing this joke about my great-grandma that I kind of feel odd about.
Why?
Odd why?
It's just strange. It's she was awesome, right? She's born in Ireland, came here.
Is she no longer with us?
She's no longer with us. She lived to be 103.
God bless
her soul. We had a good connection. But I'm not political at all, but I saw this article about white supremacists giving politicians money and they force them to give it back. I mean, they should give it back, right?
Yeah.
Because you should not take money from racists. So
right.
And it's like, you know, but companies do. Like, imagine if Walmart didn't take money from racists. They'd be, what if we had to give all the money we back? You know, that we took from I would have been at my first communion party, like talking to my great grandma, like, hey, I love that you're here, but I can't accept this check. which is not that true about my great grandmother. Was not like an overtly like prejudiced
times
person.
Times were different, though.
But times were different, and you know.
Would you do that joke if she were still alive and at the performance? Like if she was there, would you? I can't do that joke about my grandmother being a white
surprise. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, at this point, maybe I would. Not when I had started 10 years ago, five years
ago. But now you're
ago.
More, you got TV credits now. You go, hey, grandma.
Well, I just feel like, you know, it's got to be the truth. And that's where comedy is right now.
Right.
It is the really only places you're getting the truth.
Is it harder to do, because of the political correctness that is America, is it harder to do your job now or is it not?
Not me. I'm not, like I said, I'm not very political. I think I can sense that if something comes up or like through crowd work or through something, if it comes up or seems to be political or I watch another comic, you could feel it in the room.
Sure.
You definitely can.
Yeah. A lot of groaning now.
Yeah. And it's just like, and there's so many experts doing it. And when I say that, I mean like these guys that have, these men and women that have TV shows that have staff of like 30 writers. 40, yeah. Why do you want to compete with that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're trying to write material that you can do for a while. You know?
Right.
And it's the time frame that it exists for is so short.
Yep.
To put that effort. So I just, this is not my thing. I don't like to go that way.
And a lot of people like to escape the political
right.
situation right now anyway. They want to go out yes. and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Just want to go out and have a great time. And so I try and keep it there. But I do like to be truthful. And I think that's where comedy is right now. And
yep. Yep.
It's fun. It's booming right now, comedy, I think.
We're so happy for your success. We really are. You're a good guy and funny, and everything's
Thanks,
going your
Bill.
Way.
And Thank
it should
you.
Be
Thanks,
that way.
Wendy.
Pat McGann, go see
best.
Him at Zany's. Thanks, Pat. Say that one more time. So we
you
can...
guys are the greatest, and I want all your listeners to come out and see me this weekend.
Oh, little hidden plug at the end. That was very nice.
That worked, though.
Yep. Zany's.com has your ticket information. Go see Pat McGann. Thanks, Pat. We'll
Thank
take
you.
A quick break and then more show.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.